Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their premium travel card, Venture X. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
It's 79 degrees in Lawrence. It's 83 in Atchison. It's 6:06.
Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, also at 91.3 in Junction City. We are always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us this evening. Coming up in about 12 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30. At 6:36, the U.S. has a lot of experience with retrieving highly enriched uranium from various places. But most of the time that has been done with the agreement of the government of the place that's hanging on to the highly enriched uranium. Now, obviously, that is not the case in Iran. So if we were going to retrieve that uranium, how exactly would we go about it? We will get an overview, plus remembering the life and career of Prince, who died 10 years ago on this date. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, a research university with 12 research centers and institutes and more than 20 research labs and programs. Information about discoveries at KU is at ku.edu.
Public radio is the heartbeat of this community. We have your local news, we bring you context, stories that matter. But creating that kind of journalism takes some resources. So on Tuesday, April 28th, during the University-wide One Day, One KU fundraiser, we will start raising funds at noon on April 28th for KPR's News Fund. Your gift will help support reporters, editors, and on-the-ground coverage, keeping our region informed. Check out kansaspublicradio.org for more information.
Support for KPR comes from KU Theater and Dance, presenting The Laramie Project about the murder of Matthew Shepard and its impact on a college town. April 24th through 26th at Murphy Hall. Tickets at KUTheater.com.
The time is 6:20.
Support for
This is NPR News.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep. When you roll out of bed, bleary-eyed and groggy, if you're like me, the first thing on your mind is getting something to wake you up. So turn on the radio. NPR's daily news program, Morning Edition, has been working through the night to get you the news you need. It's as essential to your morning as a good cup of coffee. So hit the ground running by listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations from 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is what you will hear with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Soulis Auctions, presenting international works of art and cultural artifacts from the estate of a Kansas collector who moved to Tokyo, Japan in 1978. Details at MidwestArtAuction.com.
News headlines are coming up in just about 35 seconds. It is 79 degrees in Lawrence and 82 in Manhattan. It is 6:30.
The company maintains ChatGPT gave factual responses to questions with information that could be found broadly across public sources on the Internet. For NPR News, I'm Tristan Wood in Tallahassee.
The S&P 500 lost 45 points today, closing at 7064. This is NPR.
For KPR News, I'm Laura Lorson. Kansas is dialing back its revenue expectations heading into the next budget cycle. New estimates show the state's general fund will bring in about $10.1 billion in 2026. That's a little bit less than previously projected. That drop is driven largely by weaker corporate tax collections, while sales tax growth remains mostly flat. That slower growth is causing concern about long-term budget stability. Budget Director Adam Proffitt says that's why it's important that Kansas have an emergency fund.
Having a rainy day fund in place
is absolutely critical for the state's fiscal health.
Prophet warned lawmakers not to include the reserve fund as part of its regular budget building process. In the state of Kansas, mental health issues are some of the leading causes of death for new or expecting moms. Women die by suicide or overdose. A nonprofit is working to change that. Amelia Mensi-Kaby is with the Whole Parent Foundation, a Kansas City-based organization. She says they're working on building communities through parent support groups. Kaby says parenting can be isolating. She says most people have to pay for mental health support, and not everyone can afford that.
So it's, do we have a postpartum doula? Do we have a night nanny? Do we have a lactation consultant? And that village of parents just showing up for one another and building community has really gone to the wayside.
KB says it's important to talk about mental health for both moms and dads. Currently, the group serves Kansas and Missouri parents at a support group in Kansas City and on Zoom. She says they're working on expanding to some other locations. The Kansas Board of Regents has approved a 3-year contract with University of Kansas faculty and staff. The Kansas Reflector reports the agreement follows 2 years of negotiations. The United Academics of the University of Kansas represented KU faculty and academic staff in the talks. The agreement includes a modest across-the-board pay hike. And for the first time, KU faculty will have a minimum pay rate. That ranges from $70,000 a year for tenure-track assistant professors and assistant librarians to $88,500 for a tenure-track full professor. Lows tonight in the mid-50s, tomorrow a high in the mid-70s. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
When news breaks, Morning Edition takes you there.
Hey, it's Layla Faldin. I'm speaking to you as I cross the border into Iraqi Kurdistan.
And NPR's Ruth Sherlock is in Turkey, close to the border with Iran, where she's been speaking.
And we go next to Lebanon, where NPR's Hadil Al-Shalchi has been covering this from Beirut. Hi there, Hadil.
Good morning.
Join us for on-the-ground reporting, clarity, and context every weekday morning from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Your local host will be Matthew Algio. He'll have the local news. The rest of the Morning Edition crew will have the latest on the extension of that ceasefire with Iran. Lots of news. First thing tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Emporia State University Choirs, presenting She Sings, a Women in Music Festival, Saturday, May 2nd at Beach Music Hall in Emporia. Details at emporia.link/she-sings.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, 96.1 in Lawrence, and lots of other frequencies, too. Always online, streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Coming up, another 11 minutes of All Things Considered. If you're joining us on KPR One stations at 7:01, we will have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Steve Seal as your host. If you're joining us on KPR 2 at 7 o'clock, stick around for Reveal.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing backup power, such as automatic standby generators and backup battery systems for businesses and homes that can be used during storm season. More at cromwellsolar.com.
It's 78 degrees in Lawrence, 74 in Emporia. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock.
It's All Things Considered from
More information at carnegie.org. From Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, which monitors safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate. At progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.com.
There's a whole world of news happening outside of Washington, so at Morning Edition, we make sure to bring you the full picture from around the globe. Listen every morning from NPR News.
join us tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest Natural Home, located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in toxin-free, customizable natural mattresses, bedding, and sustainably made furniture. Online at eaglesrestnaturalhome.com.
Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Coming up, we have news headlines at 7:01, followed by Stardate at 7:04. Then we'll get into 2 hours of classical music. Steve Seal will be your host. And then at 9 o'clock, we shift gears, and it'll be Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Emporia State University Choirs, presenting She Sings, a Women in Music Festival, Saturday, May 2nd, at Beach Music Hall in Emporia. Details at emporia.link/she-sings.
Mostly clear skies this evening, mostly cloudy after midnight, lows in the mid-50s. Those clouds stick around for the morning, but it should be mostly sunny by the afternoon. We're expecting a high in the mid-70s. Lows around 60 are our forecast for tomorrow night. It's 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Iran says President Trump's decision to extend a ceasefire with Tehran indefinitely at Pakistan's request means nothing. On X, Mahdi Mohammadi, an advisor to the Speaker of the Parliament, says, quote, the losing side can't dictate terms. And President Trump says the U.S. blockade in the Strait continues. President Trump's pick to head the Federal Reserve, Kevin Warsh, was on Capitol Hill before a Senate Banking Committee today. NPR's Scott Horsley has more.
The Republicans on the Banking Committee were mostly supportive of this nomination, with the exception of Tom Tillis. The North Carolina senator is really the only thing standing in the way of Warsh being confirmed, and Tillis's objection has nothing to do with Warsh himself. It's all about the Justice Department launching a criminal investigation of cost overruns on the Fed's headquarters renovation.
If we put everybody in prison in federal government that had had a budget go over, we'd have to reserve an area roughly the size of Texas for a penal colony.
Tillis thinks the investigation is just another way for the administration to put pressure on the Fed to cut interest rates, and he has vowed to hold up Warsh's confirmation until that probe is put to bed.
NPR Scott Horsley reporting. President Trump says the AI company Anthropic is, quote, shaping up, signaling a possible reversal in the administration's battle with the company over the military's use of AI. NPR's John Ruich has more.
In an interview with CNBC, Trump says it's possible there will be a deal that allows Anthropic's AI models to be used by the Pentagon. This comes in the wake of a high-profile spat between the AI company and the administration. Anthropic does not want Claude to be used in autonomous weapons or for mass surveillance of Americans. The Pentagon says it's not up to companies to decide how the military uses their products. It blacklisted Anthropic as a supply chain risk, and Trump ordered federal agencies to stop using its technology. A judge in California blocked the ban, saying the government was apparently trying to punish the company. Anthropic's CEO Dario Amodei visited the White House last week, and Trump told CNBC they had some good talks. John Ruich, NPR News.
The Trump administration says it's reviewing possible relief options for Spirit Airlines. NPR's Joel Rose reports.
The Department of Transportation says it is taking a look at Spirit Airlines at the request of President Trump. In an interview with CNBC, Trump said, quote, Spirit's in trouble, unquote, and that maybe the federal government should help, while also calling for another buyer to step in. Spirit filed for bankruptcy protection in August for the second time in less than a year. Now, soaring fuel costs tied to the Iran war are adding even more uncertainty about the carrier's ability to keep operating. Spirit is not the only airline that's struggling with high fuel costs. A trade association for low-cost carriers sent a letter to Congress last week asking for temporary tax relief. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
U.S. futures contracts are trading higher at this hour. You're listening to NPR News.
Stardate, April 21st. Two planets cross paths in the evening sky this week.
One is brilliant, the other a little too faint to see without some help. The brilliant one is Venus, the evening star. In all the night sky, only the moon outshines it, so you can't miss it. But you can miss Uranus. It's a giant, but it's so far away that it's not easy to see. Several factors control how bright a planet looks. The planet's distance from both Earth and the Sun, its size, and how much sunlight is reflected from its surface. The clouds that blanket Venus reflect much more sunlight than the clouds of Uranus do. And while Uranus is about 4 times the diameter of Venus, right now it's almost 14 times farther. That makes it look smaller in our sky. The distances are also important in another way. The farther an object is from the Sun, the feebler the Sun appears. At their average distances from the Sun, each square foot of Venus receives more than 700 times more sunlight than the same size patch of Uranus. At the same time, the farther an object is from Earth, the less of its light we receive. When you put it all together, Venus looks more than 7,000 times brighter than its giant sibling. Venus blazes into view as twilight fades. Uranus is a couple of degrees to its upper left, and it's an easy target for binoculars. The two worlds will stand almost side by side on Thursday, just a fraction of a degree apart. You can follow us on social media and through our website, stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Turkish Rondo by Mozart in that arrangement for brass. We hear it played by the group Tenthing. That is the Norwegian trumpeter Tinting Helseth's group. And that arrangement by Jarle Storleken, which I didn't have to tell you. I just, you know, I couldn't resist. Hi there. I'm Steve Seal, and it's nice to be with you on this Tuesday night. Louis Spohr was a German composer. His birth name was actually Ludwig, but he liked the French version of Ludwig, which is Louis. And this is his potpourri on themes of Mozart. Now, of course, that made me look up potpourri, because I was wondering exactly how far back that goes. It wasn't just a scourge in America in the 80s, as it turns out. Yes, it's been used in rooms since ancient times, Wikipedia tells me, including just scattering it on the floor back in 17th century France. I'm glad they decided to put it in sashes and, you know, bowls after that. You would get it on your shoes. A potpourri on themes of Mozart by Louis Spohr.
Thank you.
Composer Louis Spohr, a potpourri on themes by Mozart. An aromatique piece of music there. The Academy Chamber Ensemble performing.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Working with Dreams. Andrew Sherwood, Ph.D., Jungian analyst, assisting those undertaking the path of individuation through dream interpretation and the analytical psychology of Carl Jung. More at workingwithdreams.com. And Cleo and Leo on Elm Street Bakery and Coffee in North Lawrence, offering Mexican-inspired pastries, coffee, matcha, and more. More information on Instagram and Facebook. This is KPR.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 79 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 79 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Paul Hindemith's Ode to an Earlier Composer, and that would be Carl Maria von Weber. That's his Symphonic Metamorphosis, played here by the San Francisco Symphony, conducted by Herbert Blomstedt. The Symphonic Metamorphosis by Paul Hindemith, played by the San Francisco Symphony, conducted by Herbert Blomstedt.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from One Day, One KU, the 24-hour giving campaign on April 28th and 29th from noon to noon, benefiting the University of Kansas. More information at ku.edu/onedayonekU. And the Topeka Symphony presenting the music of John Williams, a composer of movie scores including Star Wars, Jaws, Schindler's List, and more. Saturday, May 2nd, information and tickets at topekasymphony.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 79 and fair. Wind is from the south-southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 79 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
I'm Steve Seal, and this is a piece by Arcangelo Corelli that's one of many down through history where a composer has taken a melody that goes back ages. I don't know that we can fully say the origin of this melody. It's one of many, many such things in the world. It's a tune that is kind of filtered down through us through time. And it's known as La Follia, and in this case, the violin sonata in D minor by Corelli takes up that tune, played here on Viola da Gamba by Jordi Savall.
Thank you.
music of Arcangelo Corelli, and a theme that was not his, but was one that was used by many, many composers down through time, known as La Folia, his violin sonata number 12, La Folia, Hall and Company. Our music this evening is supported by Progressive Insurance, helping protect small businesses and the owners who run them, whether a plumber, accounting business, or restaurant. Progressive can help with over 30 customizable coverages. Online quotes in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 77 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 77 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Are you a cruise person, a person who goes on cruises? I've never gone on one myself. They say, oh, you don't even know you're on a boat. I feel like I'm walking into a living Seinfeld routine when I have this conversation. Well, then what's the appeal? I can have that experience anywhere. In fact, I feel like I'm not on a boat right now. I didn't even have to leave home. Anyway, we're taking a boat ride coming up this hour. A couple of boat rides in this music of Debussy, music of Mel Boni, Jacques Ibert, and more coming up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. A narrow majority of voters in Virginia delivered a significant win for Democrats, voting in a special election today to allow the state to redraw its congressional districts ahead of this year's midterm elections next fall. That's according to a race call by the Associated Press. The new map creates as many as 4 additional Democratic districts, but it could face a challenge. The state Supreme Court has yet to rule on the redistricting effort and could ultimately stop any new districts from being used in this year's election. This is a counter to President Trump's push to add Republican seats in other states. President Trump has backed down from resuming bombing against Iran. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Trump's now extending the U.S.-Iran ceasefire until peace talks conclude.
The president said Pakistan, which is mediating the talks, asked him to hold off on more attacks, but that the U.S. would stick around and that its naval blockade of Iranian ports in the Strait of Hormuz would also continue. The Iranians called the U.S. blockade an act of war and signaled that's why it refused to show up for the latest round of talks. Control of the strait has become a point of leverage in the war. Iran has maintained a tight grip on the strait for weeks, sending oil prices skyrocketing. The U.S. has tried everything to get the critical waterway reopened, from repeated aggressive threats against Iran to now launching its own blockade against ships heading into or out of Iranian ports. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, the White House.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, a civil rights group best known for tracking hate groups, is now facing indictment on federal fraud charges today. The Justice Department says an investigation into the group goes back years, as NPR's Jacqueline Diaz reports.
A grand jury in Alabama indicted the Southern Poverty Law Center for years of alleged fraud. The civil rights group is facing charges of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche says the organization paid informants to infiltrate hate and extremist groups, and that includes groups like the KKK. Blanche said the group then used banks to hide these payments. The Southern Poverty Law Center's interim CEO, Brian Kerr, says the group is being targeted by the Trump administration, and it plans to defend itself from the accusation. The Justice Department says the investigation into the nonprofit is ongoing. Jacqueline Diaz, NPR News.
A U.S. appeals court has ruled that Texas can enforce a 2025 law requiring public schools to display the Ten Commandments in classrooms. That reverses a lower court decision. The ACLU and religious freedom organizations sued on behalf of 18 families in December of 2025, claiming it violates the First Amendment. The case could end up before the Supreme Court. You're listening to NPR News. Florida's Attorney General opened an investigation into OpenAI's ChatGPT, this over the AI app's interaction with a gunman charged with a fatal shooting at Florida State University last year. Officials say they're trying to determine if the app aided or abetted the crime. An OpenAI spokesperson says the FSU shooting is a tragedy, but that the company has no responsibility. For the first time in its 37 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has gone to an all-woman cohort. One of the prize winners is an environmental defender from Colombia, as NPR's Julia Simon reports.
24-year-old Yuveles Morales Blanco grew up in a fishing community along Colombia's Magdalena River. The community is also downstream of a major oil refinery and experienced many oil spills. In 2019, Morales Blanco learned that her community would be the site of a pilot project for fracking. Fracking involves injecting water and chemicals to extract oil and gas. She founded a youth-led anti-fracking organization, which helped lead to Colombia's moratorium against fracking. Next week, Colombia is hosting a major international conference where dozens of countries, including the UK, the Netherlands, Nigeria, and Australia, will discuss how to transition away from fossil fuels. Julia Simon, NPR News.
Michael and Susan Dell have donated $750 million to the University of Texas at Austin to fund a new medical campus. Dell says the new center, including a hospital and research facility, will use AI and advanced computing in treating patients. Dell went to UT Austin but dropped out. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Joyce Foundation, committed to advancing racial equity and economic mobility for the next generation in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. This is NPR.
Out in the woods. Hello there, I'm Steve Seal, and it's Classical Music for Tuesday night, and it's so nice to have you along. We're going to get on a few different boats coming up in this hour. Some aquatic pieces, small bodies of water, large ones, larger ones. This is from Jacques Ibert, French composer who spent some time in the Navy, actually, in France in his younger days. And so he speaks from experience in this piece, which is called Escale, or Ports of Call. Very much inspired by his journeys around the Mediterranean. The Dallas Symphony Orchestra conducted here by Eduardo Mata.
Thank you.
Escal, Ports of Call, by Jacques Ibert. We went to Rome, Palermo, Tunisia, Valencia, all kinds of places there. The Dallas Symphony Orchestra took us for a boat ride, and Eduardo Mata conducted.
If you're 70 and a half years or older, consider making a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA to KPR today. It's a powerful way to make a lasting impact on the station you love. Details at kansaspublicradio.org under the Support tab. On Tuesday, April 28th at noon, KPR will start raising funds for One Day, One KU for KPR's news department. Visit that website, kansaspublicradio.org, Tuesday and Wednesday to support KPR and help us meet the challenge.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 77 and fair. Wind is from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 77 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Now we're going out into the big open water here, not just the Mediterranean, but I suppose it is implied we're talking about one of the major bodies of water. I've always assumed it as much, at least here from WC. Here is La Mer and the Royal Concertgebouw, conducted by Carlo Maria Giulini. La Mer, The Sea by Claude Debussy, played there by the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, conducted by Carlo Maria Giulini. I'm Steve Seal. Thanks for joining me tonight. A few aquatic-themed pieces lined up for you here this hour. This is from another French composer. This would be a much smaller scale than the last one. And it's a barcarolle by Mel Boni, and it's a form of music inspired by the songs of the Venetian boat gondoliers, the barcarolle. Vincent Coq at the piano here. Thank you. a barcarolle by the French composer Mel Bonny, played there by Vincent Lecoq. Is from the English composer Jocelyn Pook, P-O-O-K. Now, where do we know that name from? Well, probably she's been mentioned most often recently in connection with Eyes Wide Shut. She created the score to Stanley Kubrick's very famous final film. In addition to other films like The Merchant of Venice and The Wife. And this is a piece of hers called Introspection, Jocelyn Pook.
Thank you.
Introspection by Jocelyn Pook, played there by violinist Angèle Dubon and her group La Pietà.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 71 and fair. Wind is from the south at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 50s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. It's 71 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Virginians have voted to redraw congressional maps to favor Democrats. John Khalil of member station VPM has more.
Virginia's approval for redistricting brings Democrats even or ahead of the Republican redistricting push that President Trump kicked off in July last year. The map that voters approved could lead to a four-seat gain for Dems in the House. In a statement, Virginia's Democratic Speaker of the House, Don Scott, said Virginians sent a message to Trump. Republicans said the process was tilted and the courts would have the last word. There are still court cases outstanding that could nullify the results. Because Republicans have challenged the process by which Democrats put the redistricting question before voters. Virginia is the second time voters have redistricted through the ballot box. California was among the first to redistrict in response to Texas. For NPR News, I'm Jad Khalil in Richmond, Virginia.
An advisor to the Speaker of Iran's parliament says President Trump's decision to extend a ceasefire with Tehran indefinitely at Pakistan's request means nothing. On X, Mahdi Mohammadi says, quote, the losing side can't dictate terms. Trump extended the ceasefire, which had been set to expire tomorrow night. He also says the U.S. blockade in the Strait of Hormuz continues. Voting rights groups are suing the Trump administration over illegally stockpiling confidential voter data. Cynthia Abrams from member station WPLN reports 12 states, including Tennessee, voluntarily handed over their voter information.
That data includes names, addresses, dates of birth, and the last four digits of voters' social security numbers. 12 states submitted the information after the Trump administration required all states to do so in an effort to create a national voter database and purge ineligible voters. Now, four individuals along with the organization Common Cause have sued the Department of Justice. They are trying to block the DOJ from storing this data and want the department to delete info it has already obtained. The lawsuit alleges the department is violating the Constitution by, quote, usurping state authority to oversee voter list maintenance. It also takes issue with the Trump administration making it a requirement to hand over sensitive information. For NPR News, I'm Cynthia Abrams in Nashville.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, a civil rights organization that tracks hate groups, has been indicted by the Justice Department on federal fraud and money-related charges connected to its past use of paid confidential informants to infiltrate extremist groups. CEO Brian Vera says they use them to gather information on the activities of radical violent groups. The FBI cut ties with SPLC in 2025, calling it a partisan smear machine. Fair says the group will vigorously defend itself. U.S. futures contracts are trading higher at this hour. You're listening to NPR News. NASA's next major space telescope is getting ready to be shipped to its launch site, Kennedy Space Center in Florida. NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce reports the launch is now targeted for early September.
NASA officials announced the launch plan at Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. There, in a giant clean room, was the Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope, which is named after NASA's first chief of astronomy. The approximately $4 billion telescope has a primary mirror as big as the one in the Hubble Space Telescope, but it has a much wider field of view than Hubble and will be able to survey the sky up to 1,000 times faster. Nikki Fox is the head of NASA's Science Mission Directorate.
Roman will discover tens of thousands of new planets outside our solar system. It will reveal billions of galaxies.
It should also help astronomers understand mysteries like dark energy and dark matter. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.
Shoppers increased their spending in March from February, but a good chunk of that money was spent at gas stations. The Commerce Department says spending rose 1.7% after a revised 0.7% increase in February. It's the first spending report that captures the effects of the U.S.-Israeli war in Iran. Excluding gas prices, retail sales were up 0.6%, getting a boost from income tax refunds and warm weather. Online sales grew 10% in March compared to the year before, and that's likely in part thanks to big spring sale held by Amazon. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their dining and entertainment card, Saver. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Brian Lynch playing a tune that Dizzy Gillespie came up with in the mid-1940s, Blue and Boogie, to open tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR. It's the new album by Brian Lynch called Torchbearer. Special guest is alto saxophonist Charles McPherson. And on that one, Orrin Evans played the piano, Boris Konosov the bass, and the drummer Kyle Swan. We'll have some Dizzy Gillespie from the Vinyl Vault in a double LP, not a double LP, a duo LP he did with Oscar Peterson back in the mid-70s. So that is on the way. Pianist Cyrus Chestnut will be at the Folly Theater with students and alumni of the KUMKC Jazz Program. We'll hear from Cyrus in about 10 minutes. And I'm Bob McWilliams. I didn't know if I said that. Hi, I'm glad you're here. Let's hear a classic from John Coltrane from the Blue Note album, September 57 recording, Blue Train. It's Moment's Notice on KPR.
Thank you.
Thank you.